Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Ag Innovation News Podcast, presented by the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute of Minnesota. I'm Dan Scogan, Director of Government and Industry Relations for AURI, and guests on the Ag Innovation News Podcast will shed light on innovations in value-added agriculture, highlight important voices and work that's being done throughout the Minnesota ag sector, and educate the public about resources and organizations that support Minnesota agriculture. Today to the show, we want to welcome Dan Erdman from Farm Rescue. Dan, welcome to the Ag Innovation News Podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me, Dan.
The listeners might get confused as Dan and Dan go back and forth today, but Dan, before we talk about Farm Rescue, which is going to be a great story, but let's find out about Dan Erdman a little bit. What was your path to this point in your life?
I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you guys today. And again, yeah, my name's Dan Erdman. I am the marketing program manager for Farm Rescue. I've been in that role for almost 6 years now, originally from a little town in central North Dakota called Goodrich. Like a lot of small rural towns, not a whole lot of people there. And my dad was a farmer. His dad was a farmer before him. And fortunately, like many other farmers, my dad just, he couldn't make it work. After years of trying, he'd already been working another full-time job and still trying to farm on top of that. So getting very little sleep. And I know the stress was high back then. I was about a freshman in high school when he decided to hang things up. And again, one of those things you always remember is your farm auction and just kind of the look on my dad's face is those, you know, pieces of equipment that he'd worked years to build, that inventory and seeing them sold off. Again, something I'd never wish upon anyone and something that's never left me. So fast forward, I went to college for broadcasting and marketing at Minot State University in North Dakota here, and eventually jumped into the broadcast world. So I worked for a small CBS affiliate up there in Minot, originally as a weekend weatherman with no experience in weather. So it was an interesting start to my career. I know they were looking for someone that was willing to work weekends at $6 an hour, and not a lot of people jumped at that opportunity to be on camera to talk about the weather. So that was kind of my foot in the door to broadcasting, and transitioned into reporting and eventually anchoring for that station. And then I moved into the world of advertising. I worked for an ad agency for a little over 7 years. And I had always known about Farm Rescue since, you know, my days in the news. One of my coworkers back then had done the very first news story on Farm Rescue when they first launched operations back in 2006, one of the first families that they helped up there around the Minot area. That coworker, years later, had reached out to me, you know, as I was working in advertising, saying, we're looking to add this position. You know, it's more of a marketing position, someone to just tell the story of Farm Rescue and those that they're helping, you know, the farm families they're assisting and the volunteers that are out there serving as the boots on the ground for this nonprofit. What do you think would go into a position like that? So he was kind of picking my brain at that point as to what that position would entail. And after I got off the phone with him, I was a little hurt that, you know, he didn't say, you know, we think you should apply for it. And so it's months later now, and I get a call back from this friend, and he's, you know, now on the board of directors for Farm Rescue, and he still serves in that capacity. But he says, all right, we're going to hire this position, and we think you should be one of the applicants. And so I jumped at that opportunity and thankfully was chosen to serve in this role. And it's something I'm very proud to do, and an organization I'm very proud to be a part of.
Great story. And I do have to ask, people are going to wonder, how accurate does a weatherman have to be?
Well, in my case, I would say somewhere between 15 and 20% accuracy is about right. Kind of go by what the National Weather Service is saying, and I might tweak it by a degree or two to kind of make it my own. But, you know, most of the meteorologists out there are trained. They know what they're doing. But it is one of those jobs where you don't have to be all that accurate to keep your job.
Nice. Anyway, Dan, Farm Rescue, tell us about maybe the mission of that organization or the vision of that organization. What's that all about?
Sure. So again, Farm Rescue is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and it's kind of the brainchild of a gentleman named Bill Gross. Bill was a North Dakota farm kid himself, grew up in a farm family, and similar to, again, a lot of other stories like my own, his family couldn't make it in agriculture, and Bill went on to become a pilot at the University of North Dakota, is where he did his training, and has flown for UPS actually for many years now. And Bill flies all over the world, you know, to Sydney, Australia, to China, Korea, Germany. So he's got a lot of overseas flights and a lot of time spent over the ocean in an airplane. And on one of those long flights, again, this was probably close to 20 years ago already, was talking to a co-pilot about what their plans were after retirement. And Bill's response was, you know, I've always wanted to buy a tractor and just go farm to farm and help, you know, a family going through a tough time, just help get them through that crisis and on to the next season. And so he was kind of challenged at that point by his co-pilot that, you know, why wait until retirement to do that? And that was kind of the, again, the initial seed that grew into what Farm Rescue is today. I mentioned earlier, our first case was back in 2006. It was a planting assistance case right here in North Dakota where we're based. And it's grown a lot since then. We're up to 7 states now. It's, again, North and South Dakota, Minnesota, Montana, Iowa, Kansas, Nebraska, and we're actually going to be launching into Illinois in the spring here of 2023. So our service territory has grown, and the services that we offer have also grown. It's free planting, haying, harvest, livestock feeding, and commodity hauling assistance to farm families in those states that are going through a crisis, whether it be a result of injury, illness, or natural disaster. And again, everything's kind of grown over the years, and we've helped just a tremendous number of families and communities throughout that time.
Let's talk a little more about the support that you offer.
So the three main qualifiers for farm rescue assistance are injury, illness, or natural disaster. And as you might imagine, we're helping a lot of families that, you know, maybe one of the operators are going through ongoing cancer treatments. But farming and ranching are just, they're, you know, one of the most dangerous professions in the world. And so there's a lot of unexpected injury that occurs on the farm. And we try to be kind of that safety net. We call it a hand up. It's not a handout. There's no money handed over to these families. It's tangible support in the field. Again, we have equipment of our own or sponsored equipment, and we have the volunteer workforce to come in to plant, you know, make hay or harvest for these families and get them through that season and on to the next.
And looking at your website, you are farming with very modern equipment. There's got to be a huge expense in setting this program up.
It really is a very large financial undertaking. I will say that. And like I said, over the years, we've been blessed to raise funds, a lot of capital campaigns, grant writing to not only purchase some of our own equipment and vehicles and trucks to support what we're doing, but we have built just an incredible support system, not just of individual donors, but an incredible family of business sponsorships that believe in what we're doing, and they see the need for what we're doing, and we're helping a lot of the customers in their own territory. So it really takes a village to pull off what we're doing. And again, big sponsors like John Deere have really grown their support of Farm Rescue. So we're blessed to have annual sponsored equipment to go along with our kind of our fleet of purchased equipment already. And the whole goal is to fill the need of any family that comes asking for a little bit of extra help.
And are you able to use the farmer's equipment if it's available?
We are. Again, it's kind of few and far between that we do that. And we really prefer to use our own equipment just because of the liability that goes along with it. Our volunteers are more than capable of running that farmer's equipment, but it's farming. So there's breakdowns that happen, and we don't want to add to any stress that they might have already. You know, they're already dealing with a lot, and for us to come in and maybe do a little damage or, you know, have something break down, we try to avoid that, but it is a possibility. Sometimes we just can't get our equipment there, and it might just work better to utilize what they have at our, you know, at our disposal. The whole goal of our volunteers and what it's always been is to treat these farms like they're our own acreage, the volunteers' acreage. They're going to come in and do the best job possible. They're going to work with those farmers and those farm families to do it the way they would do it if they could, if that makes sense. So I think that's how we've created longevity in what we're doing. You know, word is spread of the quality of work that our volunteers do. And again, they want to treat it like it's their own. So we wouldn't have been around since 2006 if they weren't doing something right.
So Dan, do you have any idea how many families you've served since you got started, or how many acres you've run over?
So we're pulling up actually on 1,000 families who have received assistance through Farm Rescue. It's looking like we might hit that milestone sometime during the upcoming spring planting season. I don't know where that will be. Again, with throughout our seven states, those are the milestones that are really truly worth celebrating for us, because every 100 families is a big deal, honestly, in the grand scheme of things, and it's taken a lot of people to get there. So yeah, close to 1,000 families served through our organization. I don't have an exact acreage count, but I can tell you it's hundreds of thousands of acres that have been covered throughout the years.
Tell me a little bit about some of the individuals that you're aware of that Farm Rescue has helped.
Again, there's a lot of stories in there that are memorable stories over the years. In my time, the past 6 years, we've helped hundreds of families throughout that time, and a lot of just heartbreaking stories. What I like to say is it can truly happen to anyone. The one that always sticks out to me is a hay baling case. There was a gentleman working on a baler, just doing some routine maintenance, and became entangled in that machine. And after 45 minutes with no cell phone and no one nearby, and an 8-month pregnant wife in the house, he had to free himself from that machine. His only thought was not completely scarring his wife mentally with the image of what was going on. And so he composed himself, calmly walked to the house and called 911. And just his outlook on life after all that, it's easy to kind of get that feel sorry for yourself type attitude. And he was the exact opposite. His first thought was, it wasn't, my dominant hand, thankfully. And, it's on to work the next day. And just his outlook on life was something that I took with me. And I try to think about on a daily basis, but just a lot of stories like that. And he taught farm safety himself. And I think that just goes to show you that this truly can happen to anyone. It is a dangerous profession, and every day there's danger around you. And we just want to be there to kind of be that, again, that safety net to carry you through if you find yourself in an unexpected crisis.
Well, and Farm Rescue coming up on 1,000 different projects right now, I would guess there's close to 1,000 testimonials from these families who were served and how much it meant to them.
Absolutely. And I think that they'd all tell you the same thing, that it was a blessing to their operation. And we have some incredible people out there supporting these efforts. And those are some of the incredible stories too. Again, I'm blessed to be able to not only chat with a lot of the families that are receiving support from our volunteers, but to chat with the volunteers that are out there doing that work. Every nonprofit and any organization with volunteers will probably tell you they got the best volunteers in the world. I truly believe that when it comes to the volunteers of Farm Rescue, just second to none. They come from all walks of life. Again, you might expect a lot of retired farmers out here and even active farmers that are just giving up their time to come help a complete stranger in their hour of need. But it's people you might not expect too. We have pilots and pastors, military veterans, law enforcement officers. We like to toot our horn a little bit. We have a rocket scientist that works for NASA. Lives down in Alabama, and he comes up here whenever his schedule allows in the spring to support our spring planting assistance efforts. So everyone that's up here supporting this on the volunteer front has such an incredible story to tell as well. And again, the fact that a lot of them are giving up, vacation time or time with their family to come help, someone else's family in the Midwest. It just says so much about the folks that are involved in this.
I want to dig a little deeper into the volunteers that you use and the people who do the work through Farm Rescue, but I want to remind our listeners that you are listening to the Ag Innovation News podcast presented by the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute of Minnesota, and we're visiting today with Dan Erdman. Dan is with Farm Rescue. Before I talk about volunteers, I'm going to talk about the farmer or the farm family. That is a very independent person. Is it difficult sometimes to get the permission to come in and help?
Yeah, I kind of hit the nail on the head there, Dan. Farmers and ranchers carry a lot of pride in their work, very prideful of what they do on a daily basis, and for good reason. And so it's not easy to ask for help, and we hear that a lot. A big part of what we do at Farm Rescue is based on referrals for that very reason. Whether it be a spouse or a relative, a neighbor, just someone in the community that has taken notice of a situation, you know, of a family in crisis, that, you know, they make the decision to reach out to us and just kind of fill us in on what's going on. And we can reach out to them and say, you know, this is who we are at Farm Rescue. This is what we can offer. Again, there's no shame in accepting that. It's simply a hand up, and we want to do it the way that you would do it if you could. So we're here to help, and we want to just help as many families as we can. So those referrals truly go a long way for us. And I think it's easier for those farmers to or ranchers to accept that help if they know that someone else in the community has taken notice of that situation and has referred them for help. And so we get, it's probably 50-50 between referrals and you know, farmers themselves that reach out to us for assistance.
So we're going to talk about that process maybe a little bit too before we wrap things up today, but let's go to the volunteers and shine the light on them a little bit. It certainly sounds like your volunteers are coming from areas beyond the service area that Farm Rescue operates in.
Absolutely. And it's truly incredible. Like I said, they deserve so much credit for just being our boots on the ground and carrying out the mission of Farm Rescue. They actually come from across the United States to support our mission. We have around 1,000 volunteers in our database, but during any given year, we probably have around 200 active volunteers that are out there doing this work. And I think at last count, we had volunteers signed up from 49 different states. The only state we're missing is Delaware. So if you have any listeners out there from Delaware with an ag background looking to get involved in agriculture and volunteering, we'd love to hear from you. Again, like I said, those volunteers have such incredible stories, and they're responsible for getting themselves to our service territory on their own dime. And then from here, you know, we have our own pickups and their costs are covered once they're here and going to serve those families. But it's an undertaking for those people. And again, it's a true credit to the kind of folks that we have out here supporting our mission.
And what are the expectations of the volunteer? Obviously, they have to be able to get to where the crisis is. How much farm experience do they need? Is there some training that goes on, or do they need to be boots on the ground ready to operate farm machinery?
No, not necessarily. Obviously, that's a big credit or a big bonus, I should say. If they have that background in agriculture, if they have that experience with equipment, it's more likely we're going to get them in the field a little faster. But we, like I said, we have folks that come from all walks of life and very little, you know, ag background even. So we have training. You know, that's part of the process of signing up as a volunteer. Just things through our website and different training videos that you can go through. But we're never going to send a volunteer out there that has no experience on their own. We have all these seasoned volunteers that have been coming up here for a decade or more, believe it or not. Again, it's an annual thing for a lot of these people to come up here and plant a crop or harvest a crop for these families that are going through a tough time. So we're always going to pair kind of the newbies with the seasoned veterans to get them trained in the right way. And again, make sure we're doing quality work out there for every family that we're supporting.
So are you doing more than one crisis at a time?
We are, just with the, again, the footprint that we have and adding an eighth state here in the spring, we have to have multiple crews working all at once. During the harvest season here, during any given time, we probably have 3 or 4 different harvest crews out there working. And that's, again, with sponsored combines from John Deere or purchased equipment that we've been blessed to purchase over the years here at Farm Rescue through donations and fundraisers and grant writing and things like that. It's trucks, it's equipment, you know, the field equipment, it's vehicles. We try to keep them kind of spread out so they're a little closer to where they might be needed too. So a lot of moving parts, as you might imagine, and kind of a skeleton crew, I should say, a full-time crew. We have 5 full-time staffers and 2 part-timers that are lining this all up and getting the volunteers and equipment where it needs to be.
So someone listening to the podcast today, Dan, says, I want to do that. How do they get involved?
I like to say our website, farmrescue.org, is kind of a one-stop shop for our organization. If you're looking to volunteer, you can sign up right there on our site. We can gather that information on your background and abilities, your available schedule for the upcoming, you know, summer or fall or whatever that might be. If you're looking to support us financially, again, we're a nonprofit, so everything we do is made possible through the generosity of others. So if you're an individual or a family looking to donate, we actually have a tractor fundraiser going on right now that if you donate $500 or more, we can get your name or the name of a loved one on that tractor once we purchase it. So something to keep in mind for the holidays and the season of giving, the end of year here. I know everyone is very generous this time of year, and We'd sure feel blessed if you chose Farm Rescue as one of those that you support. If you're a business looking to support Farm Rescue, you can sign up and get some information on sponsorship of our efforts. Again, I talked about just the families in general. If you're a family out there going through an injury, an illness, or a natural disaster, and you could use that hand up during the planting season or baling season, feeding livestock, getting through the harvest, you can apply right there on our website. If you know of a family, we take those referrals. And again, that's a huge part of what we do. So again, kind of a one-stop shop there at farmrescue.org.
And that's where listeners should go. That's where people who want to participate as a volunteer should go. And if I heard you right, that's where you should go if you might need help or if your neighbor needs help.
You got it. All right there, farmrescue.org. You can, if you're more comfortable, you can shoot us a direct email. It's just info@farmrescue.org. Or if you want to just chat with someone and find out a little more about what we do and talk to someone firsthand, our number is 701-252-2017.
It takes a lot of capital to run this operation. Tell me just a little more about some of the organizations or some of the funding that comes your way and how that occurs.
Yeah. So again, we have a couple people on our staff that are, you know, kind of responsible for that grant writing and bringing in new funds, looking for new, you know, business sponsors to support our efforts. Cause it does take a lot of money to line up that equipment and get it where it needs to be and provide for those volunteers that are up here running it. We're always looking for more supporters, but we have a great family of supporters. A lot of them long timers, they've been with us since the beginning, that contribute on an annual basis. And part of what we do too is give recognition to those businesses that support us. So if you're out there driving, you might see a billboard for Farm Rescue with businesses on it. Our grain trucks have businesses on it. The pickups, a lot of our, you know, combines and tractors, you're going to see businesses on them because it is truly a team effort. And we like to show our appreciation to all of those businesses that support us as well. And it's not the reason they do it. Again, it's great to give a little bit back, but it's really just a drop in the bucket for what they're providing to us. And again, companies like John Deere, Busch Beer, you may remember those cans this summer, the John Deere Busch Light cans, a dollar from every case went to Farm Rescue from those purchases from both John Deere and Busch. So we couldn't have asked for greater news sharing of what we're doing at Farm Rescue and so many other businesses that contribute to us on an annual basis and all ranges too, you know, just a few dollars to some of those bigger ones in the $100,000 range. But again, it takes a lot to do this and thankfully we have a lot of people that believe in it.
And I would guess that these volunteers and some of these families that have been helped have developed some real strong relationships as well, even after the fact.
Absolutely. And one of the greatest parts of what I do is being able to see that firsthand. And it's incredible how quickly those bonds are formed between the families and our volunteers and, you know, between our volunteers themselves working together. A lot of these people are strangers when they first meet, but after 2 or 3 days even of working in the field and just interacting with those families, these bonds are for life. We have, you know, a lot of our volunteers are traveling from out of state. I think of one offhand here. He comes up from Kentucky twice a year to support our efforts. And again, on his own dollar to get up here. But a lot of those volunteers are kind of planning their route to our service territory with the idea of stopping to visit so many of those families that they have helped in the past, to check in, just to catch up. They are, you know, exchanging Christmas cards on an annual basis. And this is, again, they're lifelong bonds. And just through tragedy, there's some heartwarming tales that arose from a lot of these stories.
Well, Dan, it's certainly been fun to listen to some of the projects that Farm Rescue has been involved in. And it is a large area, and you have several crews out there at any one time. But can you bring it home for us just a little bit? How about here in the upper Midwest, closer to Minnesota, the Dakotas? Do you have a couple of stories about Farm Rescue and the work that they've done?
Absolutely. Again, we've helped nearly 1,000 families throughout our history and since that first case back in 2006. So a lot of stories to tell. And I know that we've helped dozens of Minnesota farm families specifically over those years. Just this fall, you know, two of our final assistance cases for the season We're in South Central Minnesota. One of those farmers is actually still in the hospital recovering from several complications that arose from West Nile virus. So we were honored to provide volunteers and equipment to harvest a good portion of his corn and soybeans. And it was kind of a big deal for our organization as well. If you're familiar with Zach Johnson, the millennial farmer, again, one of many kind of egg influencers out there on YouTube, was kind enough to come out and volunteer at that case and run a combine and bring in that corn crop for that family. So incredible job. And it was pretty cool to have him just kind of hop in and know exactly what he's doing in that combine. One of many families that we've helped in the state of Minnesota, you know, another farmer near Rothsay was undergoing daily cancer treatments during, you know, a very important corn harvest. And we were happy to help bring in their crop. And these are pretty common stories, you know, when it comes to the folks receiving the support from Farm Rescue. There, you know, there's obviously not a perfect time of year for injury or illness to occur, but it definitely adds another level of stress when there's a crop needing to be planted or harvested within a very small window of opportunity.
Well, we're nearing the end of our podcast today, Dan, so I want to give you the last word. What do you want people to remember about Farm Rescue, or what do you want to leave them with today?
Again, it's just kind of an age-old concept. Farm Rescue is about neighbors helping neighbors. That's what it was founded as. It's what we take pride in today. I just like to say that our neighbors come from a little bit further up the road. So keep that in mind if you're a family out there going through a difficult time, whether it be as a result of injury, illness, or natural disaster. There's no shame in asking for a little bit of help. That's exactly why we're here. And I promise you our volunteers and equipment are going to do the best job possible for you if you find yourself in one of those tough situations. So keep Farm Rescue in mind for that. And of course, if you want to get more involved, please check out our website, farmrescue.org.
Well, Dan Erdman of Farm Rescue, great story to tell, and you did a great job of telling it. Thank you for being part of our podcast today.
Absolutely. No, I just appreciate the opportunity, and thank you guys for reaching out.
We've been visiting with Dan Erdman of Farm Rescue, and thanks for joining us today, and thank you for listening to the Ag Innovation News Podcast, presented by the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute of Minnesota. Thanks to our podcast crew, Eric Evans, the AURI Director of Communications, and Lisa Martinez, AURI Communications Coordinator and the editor of this production. To learn more about AURI, visit us at auri.org.